MTA board meeting will please to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Here.
Director Bizarre. Director Katz.
Here.
Here.
Present. Quorum is present. Director Kanabe, would you please give us the honor of leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance? We have the consent calendar. There a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Fasana, seconded by Director O'Connor. Without objection, such will be the order. The chair's report, item number three. Last week, I was in Washington with the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and I can tell you there's unanimity on a bipartisan basis across the country on the idea that it's time for the Congress to pass a surface transportation bill, to pass America Fast Forward, to make investments in our infrastructure, in our ports, in our airports. You know, one of the things that became crystal clear, and it's similar to, I think, the dynamics of this board, is that there's not a divide on a partisan basis when it comes to job creation, when it comes to the notion that investing in roads, highways, ports, airports, infrastructure is an important way for us to remain competitive economically. It's the best way for us to create jobs now, particularly in the industry that is underemployed. We had meetings with Secretary LaHood, and of course I made the effort to really push the new starts, which I know all of you are working on as well, for the connector and for the subway. And my hope is that although there were no commitments made, it that both those will be part of the administration's upcoming budget. We met with a number of officials in the White House on the issue of infrastructure and job creation. And of course, you heard the State of the Union, where the President focused on that. Virtually around the country, there's an acknowledgement that LA is, that the MTA and this county are leading the way. And I also want to focus us and remember that we have to make some corrective actions to the FTA's Title VI, December 2011 report, and as I understand it, the MTA staff has already resolved two of the five areas. But one of the things we want to do is make sure that every month the staff come up to give us an update on the progress there. Lastly, I want to acknowledge Director O'Connor for her leadership role in developing an ambitious program to build and retrofit infrastructure using the LEED system. Important. I know Santa Monica's got a platinum, one of the few platinum buildings in the, and our headquarters received a LEED gold certification. And so I was asked to give this to Mr. Leahy, except to Ms. O'Connor.
Oh. I get a present.
You get one.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'll come over. Thank you.
No, I don't want
I guess not.
I just need a kiss.
All right. Verge. You got one. And so that concludes my remarks. I believe there are public comment. Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Goodman, and I believe it's Dennison or Dennis.
So we can't change the...
Or Danish. Goodman.
It's the federal government. We need to go forward.
Oh, Damien. Yeah, it's Damien. How are you?
I don't think I registered for public comment on this item, but since you mentioned the FTA report...
Oh, wait.
We'll be in Europe.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'll take it. You spoke on something. It was not my intent to speak during the chair's report regarding the FTA findings, but I remind you that among them are findings that you failed to adhere to civil rights laws with respect to the Crenshaw LAX line. I'd love to see. Well, it seemed as though the left-handed FTA was not didn't know what the right hand was doing, because just 2 weeks after they said basically that your EIR was faulty, the FTA gave you your approval. All I can say is, you know, among the many complaints which we have before the federal district court, is that you failed to adhere to the very same laws that the FTA is saying that you're breaking. You need a new EIR, you need a supplemental process, and we'd hope that in that process that you'd include a tunnel through Park Mesa Heights to address that issue. But the fact that it's not just Damian Goodman and the Crenshaw Subway Coalition saying you're violating civil rights, but it's the actual Office of Civil Rights of the FTA, should give this commission pause, especially since many of you owe your seats to giants of the civil rights movement. Thank you.
I know I do, that's for sure. Choi Ta-e? Oh, Ja-e. Ja-e. I'm sorry. Ja-e. Look like a T, but T, J, Ja-e Choi. Sorry for mispronouncing your name, ma'am. Or misreading it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 시작해. 여러분 안녕하십니까? 저는 코리아타운에 사는 74세 된 노인입니다. 우리 이민자는 특히 노인들에게는 제일 큰 이 생활에 있어서 장애가 언어장벽입니다.
Hello, my name is Choi Dae. I am 78 years old and live in Koreatown. For immigrants in LA, especially the elderly, language is one of the biggest barriers that we face.
제가 작년 10월 달에 탑카드를 분실했습니다. 그래서 교통국 사무실에 가서 $5를 내고 임시카드를 받았는데 한 달 뒤에는 do not trust 하게 되어 있어 돈을 넣지도 못했어요. 버스를 탈 때마다 마음이 뛰고 어느 운전사는 코리안이라 이러면서 욕도 듣고 그래서 밖에 나가기 싫어지게 됐습니다.
Last October, I lost my tap card. I went to the MTA office and paid $5 to receive a temporary card. The card expired after a month, and I was unable to add any more money to it. Every time I would ride the bus, the driver would swear at me, and I began to hate leaving the house.
노인들은 집에만 있으면 우울증에 걸리고 치매도 될 가능성이 있기 때문에 매일같이 나가서 버스로 타고 마켓도 가고 또 공원에도 가가지고 우리는 우리 건강을 위해서 운동도 열심히 하고 있습니다.
If elders stay confined at home, there's a higher chance that we will have depression or get Alzheimer's. So we go out and ride the bus together to go to the market, exercise at the park, and to work hard to maintain our health.
결국은 탑카드를 다시 재발급받는데 70일이라는 시간이 걸렸습니다. 전화도 몇 번 했는데 저는 언어 장벽 때문에 직접 전화도 못하고 시니어 센터에 가서 도움을 청해서 했습니다.
Ultimately, the tap card arrived after 70 days. I called several times, but as I cannot speak the language, I was only able to do so because the senior center helped me.
한 달 안에는 탑카드를 경신해서 보내주셔야지 그리고 공지사항 같은 것도 다양한 언어로 보내줘서 개선해야 한다고 생각합니다.
Your time is up. Thank you.
Can I just translate this last part?
Yes.
Thank you. I would like to ask that you ensure that the tap cards arrive at the very least within the month. I also ask that your information be available in multiple languages. Thank you.
And I'd like to just say if there are people... If there are operators who are rude to you, please take down their name and give us that information.
Sure, and I think that's important. I'll let her know that, but I think her point is that it's important to have language access and also to make sure that when elders lose their card, that those cards are
absolutely
returned to them
no,
in a timely
those
manner.
Points were well taken, but our operators should be courteous to the public, and I want to make sure that she knows that she has an avenue when they are rude or disparaging. Okay? Rosa Miranda?
The driver has a number.
Right, yeah.
So she can get the number now.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
Good morning, my name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Como sabe, señor alcalde, esta agencia se ha encontrado en violación de derechos civiles por parte del gobierno federal.
As you may know, Mayor Villaraigosa, this agency has been found under civil rights violation by the federal government.
No podemos poner toda la fe en su personal, que ellos hagan lo máximo para proteger nuestros derechos de miles de pasajeros.
We're asking you to be vigilant and not put all of your faith in the staff to protect the civil rights of thousands of bus riders.
Señor alcalde, en dos días pudimos recolectar más de 240 postales pidiendo a usted su vigilancia y su liderazgo para tres demandas específicas.
In just 2 days, we were able to collect over 240 postcards from bus riders that have the following demands.
Que responden a esa crisis del informe del gobierno federal.
We ask for you to respond to the civil rights crisis and to the report being put out by the federal government.
Una de las demandas es restituyan recortes de servicio que se han encontrado en discriminatorios.
Our first demand is that you reinstate the bus service cuts that were found under violation.
Número dos, revoquen alzas de tarifas del pasado que también se han encontrado en violación de derechos.
We also ask for you to reverse the fare increases that were also found in violation.
Número tres, y que no haya alzas de tarifa en este 2012.
And lastly, we asked that there be no fare increases in 2012.
Señor alcalde, la gente y los pasajeros confían en usted que va a tomar liderazgo en esta mesa.
Mayor Villaraigosa, bus riders are putting a lot of trust in your leadership on these issues.
Y son las primeras.
And these are the first of more to come.
Arnold Sachs. Are you here? Hey, Arnold, why don't you... If you guys could call out when I call your name, it'd be appreciated. And then John Walsh. Yes, you are, Mr. Walsh.
So, just to be clear, this is on your mayor's report, on the chair's report, or is public comment on public comment? It's the chair's report, because that's what you used. Because there are two different items.
This has on item 3, which is the chair's report.
Okay, thank you. Because you did in your chair's report mention the downtown connector, and I think you ought to take a bow. 25 years of beating that dead horse. Consider the fact that the blue line is 20 years old. I was on the gold line yesterday and I saw gold line Sierra Madre Villa. And imagine if the blue line was built as it was accorded to be from Long Beach to Pasadena. But we have this gap, $1.4 billion, and only going to go up. You also mentioned, Mr. Mayor, no consensus, but I'm sure, or there, you didn't mention a consensus on stealing, which seems to be job one for the MTA board and more often than not, most elected officials in this county. And I'm really disappointed because you mentioned there was no commitment. And of all the things I would have thought, you'd have been committed.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Walsh.
I'm going to make up for that half an hour late. John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. On Monday, 11,000 successful server requests. Mr. Mayor, you were in D.C., and the president snubbed you. Because Obama doesn't want to touch the hand of a man who's under not just FTA civil rights investigation, but under FBI investigation. There are three surveillance, the undercover FBI agents in the audience right now. One here, and one here. And they're all women! I just want you to know that MTA, and incidentally, you brought in someone to run the investigation. A Jewish white guy. How about a minority to do the civil rights investigation? More trains, more often. Yes, less buses, less often. Mayor, you were late, and I hope your girlfriend isn't 3 days late.
You know, Mr. Walsh, I actually didn't understand what you said, but the fact that some of you would even laugh at that is absolutely disgusting and out of line. And out of line, and you know what? I think it reflects the kind of values that you have and your state of mind, but... Next, and I will say in the future, you talk like that one more time and you're out of here. And you know what? You're lucky that that's all that is going to happen. So with that, no, it wasn't. It was a statement. Now, you know, a little out of line. All right. Item number 10, congestion mitigation fee study. CEO's report number 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask Hassan and Crowder to come up to report on the SCAG regional transportation plan. Hassan, welcome.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, members. I know you have a full agenda today, and I'm not going to bore you with a presentation, but I'm going to speak for 1 minute. First, I want to thank Art and his staff for the excellent work they're doing on behalf of the county and the region. The regional transportation plan presentation is in your agenda. It is a plan that meets the federal and state requirements thanks to Major R and the good work that MTA is doing. I also want to thank President O'Connor who leads SCAG this year. I am looking forward to working with Art and his staff. I just want to mention two things that need mentioning. One is we are working with our partners led by Art and his staff on high-speed rail. I think it's exciting, the Los Angeles corridor, putting the fairest and last mile to make sure the transportation system we have provide choices for people. So with that, I'll stop, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Anything else, Hassan?
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope.
Yeah. Thanks. I have one quick item, a civil rights update. We are, as promised, making progress in resolving the issues raised by the FTA and their compliance review of our civil rights program. By the end of this meeting today, we will have rectified deficiencies in two of the five areas that were identified by the FTA. We continue to work very closely with the FTA to respond to their concerns. Dan Levy is here. Our Director of Civil Rights Program Compliance would like him to make a report. Dan?
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. I have an update for you on our progress in meeting the completion of deficiencies that were found by the civil rights audit. Just to review, there were deficiencies in five of the 12 areas that the FTA looked at. A corrective action plan was submitted in December, and we will get comments on that by the end of this month. We are on schedule to rectify most of the deficiencies by June and all of them by December of this year. And as Art mentioned, two of the deficiencies have already been resolved. One of them will be with the on service policies and service standards, and that will be resolved today when you've already passed the transit security policy.
Okay.
The second one that has already been resolved is the notice to beneficiaries. More than 2,000 temporary notices have already been posted on the buses and around the stations, correcting the wording and providing some information in alternative languages. A permanent ADA sticker, ADA compliant notice will be posted after December when our limited English proficiency plan is finalized. So for those first two, Metro is currently fully compliant. Deficiency number three, the limited English proficiency issue. The FTA found there were problems with our four-factor analysis and language assistance plan, and the draft of the first factor analysis is complete and will be sent to the FTA for their review before the end of the month. The scope for factors two and three are being prepared, and a consultant will be retained to do that work. Those are fairly time-consuming. We expect them to be finished by the end of the summer. And or by the end of the spring, and then we'll proceed with Factor 4 and the Language Assistance Plan. At this point, we're still on schedule to finish that work by December of this year. The fourth area of deficiency was service and fair equity. There were multiple deficiencies noted by the FTA. One of those items was that we need a major service change definition. We are now doing outreach for development of that. We've been going out to the service councils, the public, minority groups, and talking to the bus riders union about how that policy should be formulated. We will be coming back to you next month at the committee and board to offer a proposal. We also need to develop methodologies for fair and service equity analysis. We submitted one of those, a draft, to the FTA in the corrective action plan. They provided some comments. We've gotten some comments from the Bus Riders Union. We will be revising those and working on refining them over the next month or two. We also need to come back and make findings on past Title VI reports, and we're currently planning to do that at the April 2012 meeting. That'll cover service changes from 2010 and 2011. We also need to redo the Title VI and EJ analysis of the service changes, and those will be brought back. There'll be some next month in February based on the December service shakeup that was delayed. And then we're also going to redo the Title VI and EJ analysis of the 2010 fare changes, and we expect those to be brought back to the board in May of this year. We'll also be doing a Title VI NJ analysis for other fare changes that have been made, and those will also be brought back in May. And finally, we're doing Title VI analysis for the major guideway projects. Expo Phase 1 is going to be on the board agenda in February. The Crenshaw Orange Line West Side Connector Regional, West Side Subway and Regional Connector will be brought in June of this year. So we're working on resolving the deficiencies in multiple fronts. Many of the steps have to be sequential, so we can't complete everything all at once. And, of course, the various elements do require some public outreach or FTA approval and board action. And finally, the last deficiency is in service monitoring. The FTA found some problems with the way that we were monitoring our civil rights compliance, and so we are responding to that with a plan to rectify the disparate impacts identified in the survey report. And then we're going to have a new quantitative monitoring system that follows the guidance, and we'll have that ready for implementation by the end of June 2012. We've also, in our corrective action plan, we offered that we would increase the training for civil rights and consultants in civil rights. And so a training program will be offered locally by the FTA and Metro for our staff and the staff of municipal operators. And we are now looking at having that in February as well.
Guy taking pictures.
And just again reviewing the overall schedule, the notice of beneficiaries and standards and policy deficiencies are rectified today, as of today. Service and fare equity deficiencies should be rectified by the end of June, and a limited English proficiency deficiency rectified by December 31st. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Du Bois?
I just want to clarify that the deficiencies we're talking about are in reporting, not in actions that we took. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Incorrect. Is that correct?
The deficiencies are in our compliance with the civil rights procedures, and all the deficiencies really deal with those kind of actions. Probably the only one that was a specific board action is that you were required to make a finding on when there were service changes that had disparate impacts, and that was something we didn't do. We didn't ask you for that, so we're going to be coming back in April and asking for that.
Any other questions? Well, as I mentioned in my report, we expect a monthly report on the progress. This board takes this matter very seriously, and we expect that the agency will comply on a very aggressive timeline with the items that have been identified as deficiencies. We have three speakers. John Walsh.
Mr. Chair, if I might just conclude. We expect to start pre-revenue service on the Expo line on Monday. So we're excited about getting that and then getting an opening day set. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. So you couldn't find a woman, couldn't find an African-American, all you could find was this guy. Okay, disparate impacts, that's the whole ball game. And I just want to say that I've known Antonio for 25 years. I don't put nothing past him. He threatened my life. And I just want to say that if I die in my sleep, I'm a 69-year-old man, and I'm in good health, or if I'm killed in the street.
Guys are nuts.
I've been threatened by the mayor. You heard it.
Hey. Dr. Tony Williams. Dr. Tony Williams. I'm sorry, Dr. Tom Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, Northeast LA Coalition, a few other things.
I look like Tom or Tom.
The Southern California Association of Governments, RTP. It's out on the streets. However, there's some major deficiencies. What's going to happen in the high-speed rail, in the high desert corridor? Totally lacking in development in the RTP for the year 2035. But it says that it's in there, and they use the tolls that are going to be generated from that. They also are deficient on the 710 North Extension Tunnel. They assume it's a tunnel. They have it a line drawn on a map. It follows the old Meridian route, and it does use the money from it. So the Skaggs RTP needs to be significantly revised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Arnold Sachs. Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. As far as the civil rights deficiencies, the top seven or eight cities in the country, what are their standings as far as civil rights violations, and how do they rate with the FTA or doing investigations on their civil rights violations? Why is L.A. the leader in such deficiencies? What's the standards for the other cities? Could we get a report on that so we can get some kind of comparison? And then regarding the presentation by the SCAG director, this is a presentation from SCAG from 2008, Regional Transportation Plan. But if you recall, the MTA Regional Transportation Plan from 2008 was a draft that was never adopted. So if the same people are making suggestions for this transportation plan 2012, yet the 2008 plan was never adopted, what's that mean for the future in 2012? More leadership.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sachs. This is a receiving file item. Item number 10, congestion mitigation fee study.
Brad McAllister, Executive Director of Executive Officer.
Can you speak a little louder, please, sir?
Sure. I'm Brad McAllister, Executive Officer of Long Range Planning. Item 10 relates to work we're doing under the Congestion Mitigation Fee Feasibility Study, part of the Congestion Management Plan work. We're currently working with the COGS and cities to do an exit study to look at the benefit of mitigation fee concept. We're currently well along in that work, but we're asking for a contract modification with Cambridge Systematic to increase the budget by $345,000 so that we can continue the work that we've done with the cities. As we've done this work, there's been an interest on the part of cities that we also look at the economic benefit of the Nexus work we're doing. So we're also including that in our request for the increase. This did go to planning and programming and was approved by the committee. Also related to this item was a motion before you directing staff to implement a bicycle model as part of the work that we're doing. This would also be part of the Cambridge contract. Staff is supportive of that recommendation if the board so chooses to do that. Doing a bike component would be kind of cutting-edge forefront work nationwide in modeling. As we've worked with cities on the mitigation fee, and they've given us projects, we have received a lot of bicycle projects that we can't quantify through this. So this work would allow us to develop a model component that would quantify bikes. It would be kind of cutting-edge work nationwide, and it's something that our consultant team is capable of doing. So staff would be supportive of that motion if the board so chooses.
We have Mr. Walsh and Mr. Sachs.
Good
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I've never seen anything like this, and I've been coming up to every single monthly meeting here and back to the early 80s at RTD. You are paying them $345,000 to do a model for walking. In quote-unquote, page 13, in conjunction, travel modeling in conjunction with transportation, travel, such as walking. You are cutting $345,000 out of the bus budget to have a friend who is giving money to a number of you up there, including the mayor, Cambridge, to do a study on walking. Well, just cut all our bus service, and then you can do more and more studies on walking. You know what you can do with this study. I'm folding it four ways.
Madam Secretary, do I have a conflict on this? So that representation was not a representation of fact. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, as usual. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. I believe in Part A of this item, it says this is part of the congestion mitigation fee program, which deals with the HOV lanes. So please, what part of the HOV lanes will be used for bicycle as part of the bike program? Or what part of the HOV lanes will be used as a study for walking? Will that... What is the significance there? But what really concerns me, because I know how succinct you are with the studies and covering all the options, there's no boating option here. I mean, somebody could sail down the 110 freeway in their boat, but there's no boating option included. So why not include the boating option, which will allow you to include another study, which will then, in fact, allow you to increase the life of the project budget to for the studies that need to be done regarding boating to and from. Be on your yacht.
There were a couple of issues raised that you might want to respond to.
Sure. The increase, there are two parts of what's before you now. We're requesting an increase in the consultant contract by $345,000 to complete work currently underway with cities. We're basically doing nexus studies with cities. They're identifying projects that so we can examine the feasibility of a congestion mitigation fee. That work is well along, but we've had to work more closely with cities. We were working through the COGS, but it's actually required us working more deeply with cities than we envisioned. As we were out working with cities, because of the economy, we're very sensitive to that. Cities ask that we also take a look at the economic benefit, economic impacts of a mitigation fee, looking at the specific set of projects that they've given us. So we've included that. So this increases the contract from total amount that we've spent over the last several years. It would be, we've spent roughly $2 million. This would bring us to about 2.4. The second issue before you is the motion, which was to develop a bike model. This would be a component of the metro transportation model. The motion asks that we that the board allocate up to $1.5 million for that work. This is state-of-the-art modeling work. Cambridge has the skills. They've done similar work. It's cutting edge, but they've worked with several other cities, including Raleigh and Portland. So we believe they have the capabilities. But this would be an additional $1.5 million for up to that amount for modeling work. And this would be work that would be budgeted through the budget. None of the funds that we're using are eligible for operations. So these are non-operation eligible funding.
Now, as I understand it, but correct me if I'm wrong, this travel demand modeling could be used for this project and also the long-range transportation plan, the short-range transportation plan, the call for projects, the transit corridor planning, joint development, SB 375 GHG compliance. What is that?
That's greenhouse gas compliance.
Greenhouse gas compliance and other transportation activities. So this modeling can help, not just for this project, but across the board.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a tool that we've
And then it's
done
been
have.
Amended by Ms. O'Connor, Director O'Connor, Director Najarian, and Director Huisar, to include demand bicycle demand as well. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Director Najarian?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to, I think in all this technical discussion, we may just be overlooking what this is truly doing. The idea is that when someone builds a project in a city, it is clearly logical that those people that either reside in that building or come to work in that building are going to add to the congestion on our roadways and our regional transportation networks. So the purpose of this congestion mitigation fee, is to assess some of the extra costs that the MTA will have and other agencies in upgrading not the operations but the capital improvements for dealing with that extra growth. There will ultimately be funds flowing back to the planning agencies for making these additions to the infrastructure. Our motion,
your amendment,
Director O'Connor's amendment,
and yours,
and mine, and Councilman Huizar's, merely identifies the fact that many people nowadays are walking and they are taking bicycles to and from. So those folks that are commuting by bicycle should be treated differently and identified differently in the modeling that we're going to be doing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. One of the things to point out is that there's really a lack of technical analysis in the bike area. So right now, you know, we have very limited tools. It's made more roughly as a policy decision based on limited analysis. In the mitigation fee work, our consultants are leading edge, but they haven't been able to quantify the benefit of bicycle projects. So what could happen is that those projects might actually drop out of the mitigation fee work. So what this tool does is it gives us a technical ability to evaluate the benefit of bike projects, which really don't have that. You know, 20 years ago, these were highway models. You couldn't even look at transit. So
right.
Bicycles are in that same category now.
But the entire concept of this is to be fair and equitable to the rest of us for any new development that comes in and
yes.
Which otherwise burdens the rest of us with the transportation needs, whether it's bike, whether it's freeway, whether it's pedestrian, any other sort of regional transportation. I mean, it's an equity concept that we're dealing with here.
It's an equity concept, and ultimately the cities basically already have this responsibility through the congestion management program to mitigate, and the current approach that we have, this debit credit approach, cities are starting to fall behind. This, we think, is a better way of generating revenue based on new development to actually accomplish what cities need to be do across the county, and that's where the equity issue comes in. All cities are participating, and this, we're trying to have
fairness.
The,
I mean, we're talking fairness
that, across
I mean,
the county.
Equity is maybe a too high a word to use. We're just talking about basic fairness for those projects and those developers that are coming in and bringing in new commuters and residents into the area.
Right, and okay. good technical tools to do the analysis and support it.
Thank you. I just wanted to clear that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, you're right. Any further comment, questions? Been moved by Director O'Connor, seconded by Director Kanabi without objection. Such will be the order. Mr. Antonovich, Mr. Boyce, I am conflicted on item 30, and the record reflected I was not conflicted on item 10 as represented.
So let's move to item number 30. My mic was not on.
Mike.
Yes. Comment that my mic was not on, but it was on so you can hear me. Move to item number 30. And we have a report.
Good morning. Stephanie Wiggins, Executive Officer for our Congestion Reduction Program.
I am joined by Henry Fuchs, who's our Deputy Executive Officer of Project Management and our Project Manager for the Express Lanes Project. The recommendation before you has two components. We're asking approval of a contract modification to with our contractor, Atkinson Contractors, for drainage modification improvements on the 110 Harbor Transitway to mitigate a safety hazard that will be created by our program at an estimated cost of $1,867,000. The second element of the recommendation before you also relates to increasing the overall contract modification authority. As background, we've been reporting to the board on a quarterly basis on risks associated with the program. One of the risks that we have identified is a differing site condition and the need to increase our contract modification authority. I'm going to turn it over to Henry Fuchs to walk you through the elements related to the drainage modification request as well as the contract modification authority.
Could I get the folks up here that are talking to lower their voices a little bit so we can hear the reports? Apparently not. Go ahead.
This drainage modification is required because we're putting in that vicinity transition lane, and that's basically to ease the entrance and exit from the general purpose lane to the express lane, and it's located along the 110 freeway just north of the 105 freeway. If you look at attachment C, The top portion depicts the existing condition, which shows where after rain runoff, the water collects in the shoulder area and extends a little bit into the HOV existing travel lane. At the time we were putting the contract together for this project, we were unable to obtain as-built conditions from Caltrans in order to depict this area, and therefore the contractor didn't price the scope of work in the proposal. If you look at the middle portion, after we restripe the area to create a transition lane, that's going to take part of the shoulder and extended into the travel lane of the new express lane. And so you can see the blue portion there where additional water accumulation will be taking place in the travel lane during the rainy season runoff if we don't do any drainage improvements there. The bottom portion depicts the area where this contract modification is required, and that's to put in subsurface piping into the shoulder area where the water runoff can accumulate safely off this travel way and enter into the subsurface drainage system and run off the freeway. And this will create a much safer traveling arrangement for the pub motorists using the express lane.
And the contract modification?
If there are any further questions, I'm ready to answer, and we can go into the second recommendation for the increase of the CMA.
I move approval of this item.
Second. Any comments, questions? Seeing none, if there are no objections. Recommendation is adopted. I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Okay. It was not turned in before. I'm sorry.
Oh, you have rules.
Next item is number 15.
Can I just, you know, I support the item. Just one final question there to. Questions have been asked recently. We've asked it from my construction committee, but as it relates to these contract modifications and design issues, are we pretty sure that this is going to be the last one as it relates to design modifications and as it relates to drainage?
Right now, in attachment number B, we've quantified and shown all the potential change orders that we are aware at this stage of the project, and we've outlined showing some of the things that are involved. Regarding any major modifications, at this time we don't foresee.
It seems to be that we've had a run on this, you know, Sepulveda and, you know, the 405 widening and everything else, these drainage issues, that we need to get our arms around these things sort of ahead of time so we have a little bit better idea. Are you still within budget, though, right?
We are still within the budget. Yeah.
Director Antonovich is going to conduct this one. Okay. I'll start signal.
Okay. Don, go ahead and get started and make it brief, please.
Yes. Good morning. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer for Regional Rail. Could I have the screen, please?
It said no signal. It's broken.
All right. Well, we're gonna go back to where we used to be on these things.
There you go.
The recommendation you have before you is to authorize the CEO to execute an MOU among 8 member agencies of SCAG in Southern California and the California High Speed Rail Authority for advance investment into projects in Southern California. At the same time, we are requesting to support the authorization of $950 million in connector projects that were authorized with Proposition 1A. As some background, LAMTA is a member of SCAG, the Southern California Regional Rail Authority, Metrolink, and the Los Angeles JPA. We also have an existing collaboration MOU with the High Speed Rail Authority, and we have funds that MTA has programmed for the regional connector that were authorized under Proposition 1A. And at the same time, we have also passed a motion to develop a list of candidate projects in LA for advanced investment. So far to date, we have been working with the High Speed Rail Authority and other regional agencies regarding HS High Speed Rail in Southern California. We've been working on issue resolution with our member agencies and local communities. We've also been developing projects that show independent utility with the system. And at the same time, we've been working with the High Speed Rail to develop their new blended approach that they're taking in their draft business plan. There is a map shown to you that was actually distributed at the planning and profile meeting. I put up on the screen, but we're not there yet. You have a list of projects in front of you that was as of January 3rd. I wish to add that. Okay, there we go.
Come on, Don, we need to wrap this up.
Okay. We have a total of 7 or 8 more projects for Los Angeles County that are in addition to that list. Four of which are in the San Gabriel Valley, and three of which are actually in the Palmdale area. Those yellow dots indicate those projects, and that list will be finalized over the next week. So, in the issues of time. Where this MOU provides for advanced investment by the authority for $1 billion in Southern California. Further partners, it creates that partnership between us, our member agencies, our other agencies, and High Speed Rail Authority. And it also allows us to exit that agreement. It also provides for definite project level MOUs. What it doesn't do is provide blanket support for the overall high speed rail system and or components in the LA County. We still need to hash out many of the challenges that move forward with that. So with that, we are recommending that this thing be moved forward, and we issue it, work into that negotiation. Thank you.
We recommend the board approval of this. This permits us to go forward, and in the event we are unhappy, we can withdraw from the MOU in the future.
Any comments? We have some public speakers, John Walsh, Dr. Williams, Malcolm Klugman.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I have to say something nice about you. compared to the high-speed rail bandits, you are Jesus Christ's kid brothers and kid sisters. They were here, right here. I stood right here and called Mr. Scumberg what he was. Here, incidentally, the auditors changed it. It's no longer $98 billion. It's $116 billion. I asked them what was the benefit. They said that people, and I said it was all for white people. And they said the benefit, quote, was that people in L.A. could go to San Francisco to see the ballet and come back the same day. That's what we're talking about. This, and what are you doing now? Without one damn word of debate, you're authorizing almost $1 billion, $950 million for this. And tomorrow, and next time I come to these meetings, I will be wearing a bulletproof jacket.
Dr. Tom Williams, L.A. 32 Neighborhood Council and Northeast L.A. Coalition. So we're more focused only on L.A. The two segments, that is, from Glendale to Union Station, from Union Station to El Monte, are our focus. There are provisions in this that would basically cement the surface routes along the I-5 into Union Station from the north, and a surface route on the 60, not the 10. That's interesting. So we're already deciding on the routes, even though the alignments haven't been selected. We've already proposed, and Councilperson Reyes supported undergrounding the high-speed rail from Glendale into Union Station. It works. It's a good alternative. You can also do the same thing to El Monte from Union Station. By the way, I helped build Red Line Phase 1 here in Union Station. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, after Mr. Klugman, Mr. Goodman, and then Mr. Sachs. Yes, sir.
Right now, high-speed rail is about to become as popular as offshore drilling off California. Not only that, but the number three person, Republican, in the House, Kevin McCarthy, represents the area of this Fresno to Bakersfield thing, and he's opposed to it. If we're going to do high-speed rail, go back to the at least the original of connecting Los Angeles to Anaheim, and I want to say all the way down to San Diego. Create a one-hour train from here to San Diego. It will be a demonstration project, whether anybody will actually ride it, which I think a lot of people will. It'll provide a lot of jobs in Southern California, not in Bakersfield. Let's do this right and stop spending $113 billion, please. One more.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. You're supporting authorization of $950 million authorized by Proposition 1A. So what percentage of Proposition 1A funds does $950 million equal? How much is left in the pot of Prop A funds to use for other projects? You discussed eight connector projects. That means you have eight projects with eight holes in them. How come? With the leadership at MTA, why isn't a project complete like, the Blue Line? Why do you have Downtown Connector 25 years later? You're going to fill in the gap. How many other gaps are filled in 25 years later, 30 years later, so the cost increases to that extent? That doesn't matter. We got Prop 1A funds, $950 million for the high-speed rail, $116 million. Billion dollars? That's today. What will it be next year? $120 billion. Let's look at an example. Let's look at the tap card. It's $171 million and counting and still not complete. Use that logic.
Board members, we don't know what's going to happen with high-speed rail. Let's be real. Especially beginning in the middle of the state, whether it will come to Los Angeles within your lifetimes. The reason you need to support this is Attachment B. I'm looking at $820 million for grade crossing improvements and grade separations on Metrolink, which is one of the deadliest passenger rail lines or deadliest passenger rail systems in the country. My advice to you is to spend it now, build it now, save lives now, because you don't know where this program will be 2, 4, let alone 10 years from now. But if you can improve safety on Metrolink in the process, do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion.
Move it.
I brought it up at the committee. Obviously, it's been a significant issue here in Los Angeles County and in the region. It was brought, we declared the month of January Human Trafficking Awareness a week. We have dedicated a specific courtroom at the Compton Courthouse to deal with this issue. It is brought together by the judges, the district attorney, public defenders, sheriffs, and others. It's a very significant issue. We are moving forward at Metrolink by using this kind of information because one of the areas of hanging out and use for this horrific situation or transportation hubs. It could be bus, it could be rail, it could be whatever it may be. And I would just ask that we move forward on this motion to look at it and report back and have our CEO report back with what we can or can't do.
Motion, I'll second. We have one speaker, Jose Rodriguez. Jose Rodriguez. Good morning, Jose Rodriguez. Just want to say real quick about this item. It's good that you're taking on the safety of children, you know, especially children. And I was reading into this item yesterday night, and it was kind of interesting. That also on the MTA, you know, advisement, something, when something like this happens, especially for children. And hopefully they can do it, you know, for everybody. And, you know, it's a good way. Just keep it up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, item 73 is an item to consider authorizing the chief executive officer to negotiate and execute a contract with EV Connect to install electric vehicle charging stations at 5 of our park and ride stations. And at the same time, it also asks to amend the budget by $54,880 to project number 210130. This project will all be reimbursed through an Energy Commission grant that EV Connect and MTA had applied for.
I'll move it.
Second. Okay,
we have Mr. Walsh and Mr. Sachs. And we have a motion and a second on the item, and we have public comment.
You know, for about 30 years, I've been talking about, long before the Bus Riders Union ever existed, I've been up here, and talking about bus versus rail, how you prefer rail to bus, but this takes the cake. We are now spending money to subsidize automobiles. Now, I don't give a damn whether the automobile has a motor, an engine. It is still clogging traffic. So you have now, you are making it easier for people to drive their cars and cause gridlock while you racist swine, nothing personal, while you racist swine are being investigated for racism by my best friend Obama. I'm voting for him twice this time.
Next.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs again. While you're focused on plug-in electric vehicles, you're missing the opportunity to also deal with clean natural gas. And that being said, although it may not be clean, it is natural. You should be able to figure out a way to pipe the gas that comes out of this boards when they're doing discussions so that it can be collected and used as fuel for the buses. Again, I say it's natural and it's certainly not clean, but it's an opportunity to enhance transportation programs. Don't be prejudiced by just picking on EV cars. Consider natural gas.
Without objection, so ordered. Okay, item number 70. 70.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members. Michael Turner. Item 70 is AB 1444 by Assemblymember Fuhr. This is a bill that would try to create an expedited judicial process at this point for transit projects. This is right now we're looking at a model based on AB 900, which was a measure passed last year as almost a companion measure to the stadium proposal that was approved by the legislature last year.
I'll move it.
We've got some public comments that I'd like to take.
On that one?
Well, it says on item 70, so.
There's two items on it.
I understand 70, that.
Yeah, and my guess, okay.
Understand that.
Yeah, I know you. Okay.
So, are there any comments from the board? And I'm going to ask those. Messed me up. Okay, let's hear the can I have the second report? I have the motion on the floor. I understand that. Can we get the second bill? The motion is on the first bill. I understand that. What I'm trying to do is let the public give us some input before we vote. So if we could have the second report, then perhaps item 70 I can figure out. Okay.
Okay. It's not on the agenda, but item 70, the board report also includes AB 1446 by Assemblymember Fuhr, which would authorize a possible extension of the Measure R sales tax. The language as it is drafted now would authorize an as yet undefined.
Chair?
Yes.
On this item, could I ask the board that we hold this item, take no action today until this is flushed out better? Well, in that case, we won't do anything. No need. And we got the first bill, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. My understanding is we have just AB 1444.
So just say never mind.
Because both were sent here by EMAC. But that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. It gets us where we need to be. That's all right.
All right.
Which bill's in front of us then?
1444.
1444 is before us. Can we have, let's have some public input. Sun Young Yang, to be followed by Dr. Williams. Sun Young Yang, are you here, please?
Good morning, board. Sun Young Yang, lead organizer of the Bus Riders Union. I'm here today to urge this board to oppose both AB 1446 and AB 1444. In particular, AB 1444 goes on the path of actually limiting real public process outlined under the California Environmental Quality Act. It actually is an effort to undermine the public process in the environmental review and also in the litigation process. So it just sets a really bad precedent. Whether it's transit project or highway projects, the public has a right to fully participate and raise concerns and go through a legitimate legal process. We think AB 1444 undermines that. This board should not stand with it. AB 1446, extending Measure R, we need to have a real discussion on how sustainable these projects are. And at the end of the day, it still does not answer the question of how you're going to operate these projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Williams, to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Dr. Tom Williams, Northeast LA Coalition. Basically the same thing. CEQA. I started CEQA in 1972. I've done over 300 environmental impact reports, statements, assessments. And it's the one place where the public can really participate. And in fact, we went through a sequence of, well, public notice was the first thing, then public involvement. Now it's public participation. CEQA provides the public participation on any project once it's been developed well enough and is critical to understanding the public's position. Not the labor unions, not this, not that, but the public. So please do not support 1444 and 1446. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Arnold Sachs, to be followed by John Walsh. Have a comment later. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. You need to establish an expedited judicial process? I thought you had an expedited judicial process. It's when you modify state law. Isn't that exactly what you did, Mr. Leahy? You sent me a letter saying that the LA to Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority modified state law and allowed the construction authority to become the Gold Line Construction Authority 6 years before it was legalized in the state legislature. So why do you need to establish any kind of priorities? You already have priorities. Remember, priority number one, get the money. Priority number two, steal the money. And it's really fascinating, you're beginning the discussion about Measure R and it's not on the agenda, which says a whole lot about action that the MTA board takes. Not on the agenda, who gives a rat's ass?
Thank you. John Walsh, to be followed by Damian Goodman.
John Walsh, Google Walsh Confidential, get right in. You know, for 30 or 40 years, we've had an environmental process in this state. And who is destroying it now? A process of CEQA to make sure that our homes weren't taken from malls. Who? The big, bad Republicans? No. The greenies. The green weenies. The liberals. Fewer. Those are the people who are destroying the environmental process. And incidentally, I like another law you should keep is the Tom Hayden law, and I'd like to point out that I never accused the mayor of a conflict of interest on this item 10 because he took the money beyond the years of the conflict of interest.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Well, I was attacked personally. I'm going to buy a bulletproof vest now. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Damian Goodman.
You know, it's sort of amazing because most of you claim that you're environmentalist, yet you're busy undermining the most environmentally relevant document, the most important document with respect to environmental law in probably the country. The CEQA is not something for you to avoid. If you guys spent as much money on staffers competent of supervising a compliant document, you wouldn't need the money. You would not get in court as frequently as you do. Now, I don't think you're going to care about that because, you know, it's just community groups that are opposing you. But you have a lot of municipalities, small city representatives, and you know what happens. You have a 710 tunnel contract that was just approved today. You know what happens when this body, which is a political beast, ignores you. You go to court. Will those small city representatives be happy with the decision that's being made by this board today? I'd like to find out.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. All right. Mr. Katz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, Mike Feuer is probably one of the strongest defenders of public participation that I know, of the First Amendment and of people's right to participate. And I think if people had taken the time to figure out what he's doing with the bill, they'd find out that he's not cutting public participation. He's addressing how it proceeds through the court process as a way to expedite the hearings and resolution of whatever issue it is that's before the court. So it's not dampening public participation. We wouldn't do that. Fear wouldn't do that. It's not designed for people to avoid the public, but rather to make sure that the public and discussion decisions that are made are done in a manner, in a timely manner, so that other decisions about how you build or what you build or if you move to a different project can be done on a timely basis. And on that, I'd ask for an aye vote on supporting the one bill, only 1444. The other bill is being held, as I understand, in committee and not taken up today. I mean, held before the board and not being taken up today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, as I understood the briefings on this, and I want to echo what Board Member Katz mentioned, it's just the judicial process and how quickly we go through that, how quickly it goes through the appellate court system. If there are any challenges, correct? It does that, not.
That's correct.
I just want to verify that. I think
that's correct.
I read it. So it's it protects public participation, and we all would want a faster, quicker judicial system, especially in these cases where both the community and whoever, the agency moving the project forward, would like to see some early determination as to which direction we should go. I think that's a good thing for everyone.
All right. Any other comments? We have a motion to support AB 1444. Any objections? So ordered. On 1446, the suggestion was that we hold and pass it on until next month. It's not on the agenda, okay? Mayor, back at you.
Item number 40, thank you very much. Mr. Boyes.
Mr. Mayor, if I can be recognized just for a moment.
Yes, Ms. Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you. On item number 40, just a few remarks. We go back to the history of this. March 26, 2009, when the board unanimously decided to move forward with what began as a career constructions policy and focusing on local hiring, and a high moment at the board on September 22nd of last year. So a lot of progress has been made. The staff has worked very hard, and I want to take the opportunity to compliment the staff's work and all of those who have supported the issue of local hire, the issue of small business expansion, and the issue of project labor agreement. This has been tremendous work. And I simply want to thank the staff and move the staff report as it has originally been presented to us, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Director Ridley Thomas, seconded by Director Fasana. Would you like to make a presentation?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a couple comments and ask Michelle to briefly comment. This, of course, is, we believe, a national first for a transportation organization. This is a national program being designed to national standards. The focus here is to ensure that we avoid work stoppages and also that we focus on hiring those who are most needy to help bring them into the job market. I must say, on technical grounds, this is not a local hiring program. This is a project labor agreement that will allow us to do hiring.
Targeted.
Sorry?
Targeted.
Okay. I want to commend the staff and consultants who've worked on this in L.A. and also in Washington. Obviously, we worked closely with organized labor and with the FTA. We have the support of both groups, I believe. With that, Ms. Caldwell, please, briefly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll just give you, since it's already been moved and seconded, I'll just give you very briefly an update. We have presented our draft proposed agreement to the FTA, and they have advised us that they are satisfied with our approach, provided that we continue to use a measurement that must be applicable on a nationwide basis with no preference to LA County, and that the data must be objectively reported by a federal agency. So if you were at the committee, you heard me describe how we took what the board adopted in September which was unemployment rates, and translated that to the U.S., the 2010 U.S. Census for median household income. In the past week, we have had an opportunity to review the median household income for the extremely disadvantaged neighborhoods throughout the nation, and have done mapping both for LA County, Orange County, Riverside County, as well as Cook County, Miami-Dade, some counties throughout the nation, as I said. And it is, we'd like, we're going to make one adjustment to the definition in the PLA document, where we're going to increase the priority one level by $4,500 to $32,000 per year. This provides a broader base for targeting priority one targeted hiring nationwide. Those are the only corrections that will need to be made, both to, it's to the definition in the PLA and the definition in the CCP.
And so that we're very clear, in the discussion and debate here, this is a federal program. This is not about local hire. So to the extent that there is anyone in the course of their comments that refers to a specific community, I'm going to rule you out of order, because there's a record here that needs to be established. We are conforming this initiative with a national program that does not take into account locality, geographical locality, in the sense that it is focused on targeting underemployed communities. So any discussion about X community or Y community that is not in that context is out of order, and I will rule you out of order. We have a number of speakers here who have requested.
I mean, the reason for the ruling is the feds can toss out the whole program.
Yeah, well, that's the point. I thought I made that point. The federal government understands that we need to target communities like Wayne County, Detroit, as an example, Miami-Dade County, Cook County, Orange County, and Riverside County. These are counties that have been designated not because of the geographic area that they're in, but because they have a disproportionate number of underemployed, chronically underemployed. So this program, in order to conform with the national FTA-approved program, cannot speak to geographical communities. That's not what we're here about. We're focusing on targeting, thank you, my friend, underemployed. There are a number of speakers here. Is Robbie Hunter here? Robbie? Okay, so we'll, Marilena Durazo? Okay, I'll call them when they get, I didn't know they were here. Denny Zane? Go get them.
You folks are all on a break.
Denny, how are you? And please call out when I call your name so that I know you're here.
Thank you, board members. Denny Zane, executive director of Move LA. You know, many in our community thought that Measure R was simply a transportation program. Actually, many think of it as primarily a transit development program. It is obviously both those things, but it is much more. It is a economic development program and a community development program. And to achieve those kinds of objectives, a loop must be closed. And that loop is before you in the PLA and construction careers policy documents. They will accomplish that closing of the loop and ensure that Measure R achieves broader community goals, which are, of course, its great potential. It provides the framework for ensuring the jobs created building the Measure R system are good jobs, that they lead to careers and upward mobility toward middle-class living for many of our working families in disadvantaged communities throughout our nation. This, I think, is a very, very important step that you need to take today.
Thank
you. I commend it to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zane. Flor Barajas Tena?
Good morning, board members. My name is Flor Barajas Tena with Lane, the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy. And our mission is to build a new economy that works for everyone. Since 2006, Lane has focused on construction career policies as a means of rebuilding our middle class and reducing poverty, especially in communities of color. Today, alongside a coalition of community groups, workers, as well as aspiring apprentice youth, we are here today in support of a construction careers policy and a PLA. We know that construction careers has been successfully adopted at multiple agencies across the city and the county, including Department of Public Works, the Port of Los Angeles, and phase two of the Exposition Line project. We also know that combining a PLA and a targeted hire program will create a life-changing career for struggling communities that suffer from high rates of poverty and unemployment. Today, the board has the opportunity to do this, and if the policy isn't passed today, targeted hiring and the sustainable economic recovery it brings won't be happening in any other states of America. So the board has a chance to make LA County a leader in the nation, and we urge you to support
the construction careers policy and PLA. Thank you very much. Joseph Benjamin. Joseph Benjamin. How are you, Mr. Benjamin?
Pretty good. Good morning, board members. My name is Joseph Benjamin. I am a member of IBEW Local 11. I've lived most of my 42 years in Southern California, close to Weston and Normandy. My parents always instilled in me hard work ethics, always give 100%, though I brought this into the workplace. Until becoming part of IBEW Local 11, I never could afford to support my family, basically fully. I've been unemployed for the last 3 months, but I consider myself to be quite a success, thanks to the PLA agreement of South LA. Thanks to the PLA agreement, South LA falls under one of the targeted zip code in which I reside right now. From the targeted zip code, I received a job with the Exposition Project, in which I was able to afford to buy a house for my daughter.
That's great.
I am basically a single father.
Thank you very much.
I urge you.
And thank you for that testimony.
It's very critical that you pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great story, and thank you for that, and God bless you and your daughter. Brittany Watson?
Good morning. My name is Brittany Watson. I'm 16 years old. I'm a resident of West Long Beach and attend Winter Charter High School for women in non-traditional employment roles. We are residents of Supervisor Kanabi's district. Here at Winter, we get paid to be able to learn about construction and get OSHA certified for the youth build and apprenticeship programs. I was referred to our charter high school by my probation officer, and it's made a dramatic and positive impact on my life. Growing up with just a single mom who juggled three jobs and provided for three kids, I battled to find guidance and to be a leader. My older siblings were involved in gangs, and I wound up getting kicked out of high schools for using drugs. I managed to get out of that life thanks to Winter's program. I am now considering a career in construction because of the solid salaries and trained apprentices get paid. I want to help support my mom so she doesn't have to work as much. I don't see a lot of women in our career field, so I understand how important it is for women like me to break ground and join trades. Passing a construction careers policy and PLA at Metro is going to benefit me.
Thank you. And what another great story. Thank you very much. And can I apparently, thank you very much, and let me just say, apparently there are directors who are sensitive to the flashing that's going on. So if you can take a picture without your flash, fast film, that would be appreciated because it is... Simone Andrews. That is Simone? Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, board, and good morning, community. My name is Simone Andrews, and I'm a community organizer with SCOPE, and our goal and mission is to build grassroots power in South LA and work on policy campaigns that connect the hardest hit to good-paying jobs. In our most recent campaign, with the support of mayor and other city officials, we helped to implement the LA Green Retrofit Program that has currently retrofitted over 20 city-owned buildings. These are good jobs, but we know that that's not enough. Every day when we go out in to the community, we know that it's not only difficult to find a job, it's nearly impossible. That is the reason why SCOPE is a part of a broad coalition of environmentalists, community organizations, and labor that have the same vision and goal. With the billions of dollars invested in public transit, we support the construction career policy and a project labor agreement so that when these projects happen, our communities have access to a job and not just watch while the train passes them by. Thank you.
Carlos Delgado, you here? And then Shomari Davis.
Good morning, board members. My name is Carlos Delgado, and I am 24 years old. I've been a student at the Youth Build Program at La Causa for 2 months. I attended back in 2005 through 06 and completed their 10-month construction program. My family's roots are in East L.A., my parents immigrated from Mexico in the 1960s, and I grew up here. After high school, I was planning to work in my father's company, but the economic recession slowed business down drastically. I never finished my GED, and my school counselor told me my opportunities were limited. This made me feel that higher education was not an option. I worked retail janitorial jobs for minimum wage and usually had to work the graveyard shift, and work was often backbreaking. When I started the Youth Build Program, I learned a lot about myself, and my self-esteem improved and motivated me about the possibilities. I'm really excited to see the construction careers policy move forward. Expanding our transit system is certainly going to help my community access jobs. However, I want to know that I will be able to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Delgado. And I'm just... Shomari Davis. Mr. Davis.
Mr. Mayor. Thank you, MTA Board. Good morning. My name is Shomari Davis, and I'm proud to say I'm a business rep for IBEW Local 11, Electricians Union. Over about 7,000 electricians, but we have almost 1,000 that are out of work. So this agreement is very, very important to us because it means a lot of work. This agreement covers a lot of jobs and involves a lot of money. A program like this size can't start everywhere, but will spread throughout all areas because of the jobs and commerce created by this historic agreement. This is a true model for the nation. We see that, and we're proud of the board taking the steps to be a model for the nation moving forward. I mean, this has tried to happen in other places around the country, but it has failed. It has been derailed, and the progress has subsided the recovery. We really want to make sure that the recovery goes forward, moving forward with jobs. We really support this project labor agreement and construction careers policy. We'll be behind it, and we know you'll make the right decision. Thank you.
Sylvia Castillo and Drew Saunders.
Good morning. I am here on behalf of Congressmember Bass. I would like to briefly read a letter, a statement, actually. Dear Board of Directors, I'm writing to express my strong support for the Master Project Labor Agreement and Construction Career Policy recommended for approval today. With $700 million in transit and highway construction planned in Los Angeles over the next 3 decades, these new policies will help to ensure that projects are completed on time and on budget by a skilled and trained workforce. At a time when the overall unemployment rate in Los Angeles County is over 12% and exceeds 20% in areas such as South Los Angeles, the Project Labor Agreement and Construction Career Policy are critical to our county's economic success. This PLA is truly historic. In fact, LA County will be the first transit agency in the nation to implement a PLA with a targeted hiring program on federally funded projects. I commend the hard work of Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas and all the board members, as well as the Metro staff, for their diligence.
Thank you. Sherry Bell. Sherry Bell. And then Crystal McMillan.
Hello, good morning to the board. My name is Sherry Bell, and I'm a 31-year-old member of the Black Worker Center, and I am unemployed. I recently graduated from California State University Northridge with a master's degree in public administration and been struggling to find work ever since 2010. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I want to set an example of hard work and perseverance for her, but it's difficult with the lack of opportunities. As a young worker, all I hear is not enough experience. Unfortunately, after my unemployment ran out, I had to get on public assistance to make ends meet. This is not what I want for me or the people in my community. We deserve a chance to survive, not just to survive, but to live. I am not a construction worker, but I know what it feels like to want to get ahead but can't because people discriminate against age, race, or experience. This agreement isn't just about construction jobs. It is a model for the economy on how to create fairness and reach communities shut out of the job market. This agreement means opportunity to create sustainable change in communities that are the hardest hit. Thank you.
Jose Rodriguez.
Good morning. My name is Crystal McMillan, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union. This project labor agreement will allow historic access to jobs by black and brown workers who have been consistently excluded and denied opportunity. The black community in this country has been devastated by record unemployment, and the importance of this agreement cannot be overstated. I'm speaking today because we must all stand together. We must fight to protect access to jobs, not just in the construction field, but for all the unionized workers, security guards, domestic workers these projects can reach. I hope that the members of this board and the others in this room who support this historic agreement will not stand silent as projects are greenlighted that will force service cuts, that will deny that same access to jobs and opportunity for the hundreds of thousands of our people that rely on that service. Please pass this agreement. Thank you.
Rocky Pelicano. Rocky. And after Rocky, Jose Rodriguez.
Good morning, board members. Rocky Pelicano, labor leader of Sheet Metal Workers Local 105. I represent some 6,000 members throughout the Los Angeles and Orange County and Riverside and San Bernardino counties. But I must say, for me myself, I find this an honor and a privilege, and thank you for allowing us to come speak for you this morning. I would ask of you, when you do vote on this, to substitute the word project with partnership. That's what this is. This is a partnership labor agreement that will allow us to work with you, in essence, of putting our hand out with a partnership and being a steward over a Measure R with $30 billion that is involved here. I can assure you, as a delegate from the Los Angeles Orange County Building Trades and as a labor leader, we will assure each and every one of you that we will be a good steward over this project slash projects over $30 billion, and most important of all, that we will be able to provide jobs for the brothers and sisters out there who are in searching and dire need of that. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Hey, Jose, if I call, just come up after I called your name, please. And after Jose will be James Porter.
Hello, good morning, everybody. My name is Jose Rodriguez, and I just want to let you know that please pass this item, and because we really need jobs for everybody. That's for everybody, without discriminating age, race, whatever. I hope Major Villaraigosa is looking into this, and please work really strong to create jobs. Don't let's do just promise like Barack Obama just promised on anything. Please do so. Work hard and excuse me, I'm talking. Okay, so thank you very much. And one last thing. Always something wrong with MTA. When I got this morning, I want to find out more about this item, and there's no more an item 40. What a bad job. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
One more thing. Don't interrupt when somebody's talking. If you want to make a comment, fill out a form and come to speak.
Thank you.
Otherwise, don't interrupt me. Thank you very much.
Okay, Ted Gibson.
Hi, my name is James Porter. And I am a member of L.A. CAN. I'm here today to support the PLA. But as an organizer, we have been here before. We have seen this. The only way this can work is that you implement a monitoring system. And as an L.A. CAN member, we say this. We'll pat you on the back today. But we expect you to continue to protect the civil rights of bus rider. Thank you.
Javier Nunez.
My name is Ted Gibson. I'm not going to give a speech. We do support item number 40.
Thank you, Ted.
I represent the black workers.
Javier Nunez. Pearl Loning. Pearl.
Good morning, Javier Nunez with Labor's Local 300 here on behalf of Sergio Rascon, our business manager. What we're talking about is an opportunity for people. All of you sitting in front of me, someone helped you out. Someone gave you an opportunity to get to where you're at. It's so beautiful with a project labor agreement. It'll give people an opportunity throughout our nation to have benefits, to have health care, to have a pension, to have revenue, to buy a home. I urge you to pass this project labor agreement to give young people, youth at risk, an opportunity to build and have a family structure. It's time for our nation to be number one, because our nation is a great nation that should fear God, and we should go forward. Today I stand before you and ask you to please pass this project labor agreement for jobs that are so needed in our nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Pearl Alvin Washington. Pearl.
Good morning. My name is Pearl Loning. I'm the community organizer with the Los Angeles Black Worker Center, a grassroots center dedicated to strengthening the position of the black working class through leadership development, advocacy, and research. We represent the 9% of LA community that has been historically shut out of full representation in the economy in good times and in bad. We came to this discussion back in September knowing three things. Black workers are underrepresented in the construction industry. Two, that this state has an immense gap between the wealthy and the poor. And three, that this proposed agreement, because of its size and scale, would have a huge impact on Los Angeles. Our overarching question was, would this agreement bring us closer to closing this gap? Today we know the answer. This agreement is an opportunity and a good start to creating fairness in the economy. Through the disadvantaged worker language and equal opportunity clause, It ensures that equal opportunity for everyone, particularly black workers in construction. We urge the board to work with the community to ensure that this promise becomes a reality for our community by directing staff to include routine online updates to enforce utilization and project progress. Transparency is key to equality and accountability for our investment in this project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Joanna Gasberg. Okay, Alan.
Arlene Washington, how you doing today?
Fine, sir.
Panel. That's good. First of all, I want to say the PLA must prevail. Don't derail the expo line because it's way over time. We're halfway there. We have come too far to turn back. I'm from the Crenshaw District, 41 years old, born and raised, and my neighborhood, as you all know, has a half of a mall, and you guys have rebuilt the whole Fox Hills Mall, and nothing has happened to the Crenshaw Mall, so you know what area has to happen first. I've been there since Santa Barbara Avenue was king, and things have to happen. You know, we have these three trains coming down Crenshaw, and you have this the King Parade, and that's why we have to make this happen. I worked on the Local 300. I worked with Local 300 when I got this job in 2007 because my business collapsed because of the bailout. I didn't have a bailout. I'm not sitting up here crying. I'm going to go get it and make it happen. But you have to, like James Brown say, open up the door and I get it myself.
Thank you. Also, Esperanza Martinez. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Joanna Gaspar, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and a student at Pasadena City College. We support the project labor agreement as a historic breakthrough, but we want to see jobs created through a driven vision from the MTA, one that really serves the needs of the communities. We put forward this vision 2 years ago. It was called the Clean Air and Economic Justice Plan. It would be paid for by the Measure R, and it would create thousands of jobs for low-income black and brown people. It will put 500 more buses on the streets, creating union jobs for MTA mechanics and drivers. It would create thousands of construction jobs, building bus depot and multiple bus-only lanes. It would stimulate the wallets of working-class people by lowering the fares. This plan is a big contrast to building train lines that gentrify black and brown neighborhoods and building freeways that pollute our air and harm our health. We support this agreement, and we ask all of you here to fight with us to build our vision, not the MTA's. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jasmine Wade. Everett Roberts. Yes.
Good morning. My name is Jasmine Wade, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union. The project labor agreement is an important step in breaking the historic segregation that many of my community members face. Black people in South LA have long time suffered from job exclusion, and now is an opportunity for relief. At the same time, we also believe our people can benefit more by building good projects, projects that don't balance the budget on the backs of poor bus riders, that don't promote gentrification development and displacement of our community members, that addresses climate change and sustainability in a real way. There are many creative ways to generate jobs, and an example is the Bus Riders Union vision for transit, which creates thousands of jobs by bringing us bus factory and expanding the zero emission bus system that employs drivers and mechanics and ensures mobility without having to raise fares, cut service, or violate civil rights. We want black, brown, and low-income workers building our vision. That's why we're supporting the project labor agreement today. We ask you to join us in the fight to change the current MTA projects to our vision for civil rights and environmental justice, and that starts with bringing back the million hours of service. Thank you.
Thank you. Everett Roberts, Janella Dagon, D-A-G-O-N.
It's Ernest Roberts with PV Jobs, Executive Director. We are currently working with a lot of major projects in the LA area doing construction workforce development, LACCD, about 30 CRA LA projects, the MLK Tower Renovation Project, a lot more. It's been our experience then, and we have to work sometimes, especially like at Playa Vista, we had to work with non-union contractors that had that weren't subject to the PLA provisions on various projects. And it's been our experience, out of the 4,000 placements we've made, clients do much better when they're placed in the union environment, going through the apprenticeship programs. You know, and as a workforce development professional, I got to tell you, it always costs money to train workers to be in these different fields, and especially in the construction fields. Well, you hear you've got a PLA where they're going to pay for the training through the apprenticeship program. They're going to provide access to the community. I can't see any better a win-win situation for all of us than executing this PLA, so we support it wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Jose Van DeLong. Jose Van DeLong. Su Young.
General Dogon. General Dogon, civil rights organizer with LA Can on Skid Row. The mayor said this is a federal program that focuses on the chronically underemployed nationally. Well, black folks have been chronically unemployed for the last 500 years. What we are saying here is we've seen programs come and go, and we're still unemployed. What's going to be done to monitor this policy and make sure that it's done right? We see policy come and go in our community all the time, but it falls at the wayside because there is nobody there to monitor it. And the program and the people and the people who the program is intended for never get the fruits of the program. You know, and also tell MTA to stop racially discriminating. We all pay bus fare. So the bus stops should be created equal for everybody.
Thank you. Anson Goodman. Mr. Goodman.
Still morning? Good morning, MTA Board. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. And the Bus Riders Union stands strong in supporting this historic project labor agreement with specific targeted hiring. We believe that MTA, by approving this policy, is breaking with the long years of segregation that excluded black and brown workers, specifically from the construction industry. At the same time, I'm also concerned and also want to raise the issue around that this agency also protects the civil rights of thousands of other bus riders, other unionized workers that depend on the system, by not using some of these projects when the rail goes over budget, that you are not filling the gaps by cutting bus service and raising fares on the very same people that need to use this service. You're under civil rights scrutiny by the federal government because findings of racial discrimination when you cut bus service. We ask that you rectify these findings of racial discrimination by reinstating the bus service, and we ask also the unions to stand with the bus riders in fighting for civil rights protection for all workers and all people. Thank you very much.
Mr. Goodman. Jose Van DeLong, Eric Roman,
Jose Vandenberg, representing LA Can. We're gonna stick to the national community of black and brown people. This is a community that's been underrepresented economically and politically, like we said, 500 years. But LA has a chance to be a model. And this model, we know,
December.
I'm going to defer my turn to my colleague, Esperanza Martinez.
Esperanza?
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Esperanza Martinez, and today I stand before you as a civil rights organizer fighting for the protection and expansion of the civil rights of 500,000 bus riders in Los Angeles County, and as the daughter and sister of two unemployed construction workers that are part of Union Local 1595. I know intimately the devastating impacts of draconian fare increases and service cuts, as well as the lack of strong unionized construction jobs. We want to be clear that this agency has historically closed rail construction budget gaps on the backs of bus riders through fare increases and cuts. Today, we hope the board commits to ending that practice. You have the opportunity to stand on the right side of history by approving an historic PLA that can end the segregation and exclusion of black communities in the construction industry. We open up a public challenge to the County Federation of Labor to end with our collective politics of silence. And we look forward to working with our allies in this room to advance the centrality of civil rights in this agency. Thank you.
Arnold Sachs. Arnold Sachs.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. The 110 freeway, the 105 freeway, the 10 freeway, the widening by the airport, the 405, the HOV lanes, it's south towards Orange County, the 5 HOV lanes, the blue, the red, the purple, the green, the gold, and the orange lines. Which one of those construction projects that were done by the MTA suffered through a work stoppage? Which one of those projects suffered or assisted in hiring, fair hiring practices that enabled people of color or people of different backgrounds to get jobs? So, and which one of those projects did this MTA board not have members sitting in office that would oversee them? So what do you expect? I see 5 County Board of Supervisors. 4 of them have been sitting for almost the entire time that these projects were in use.
Thank you,
Mr. Sachs.
And one
of them was in legislation. What changes do you expect?
Bilal Ali. Bilal Ali. You present? Hey, Bilal, how are you?
Yes, Bilal Ali, co-founder of Occupy the Hood LA Action Assembly. First, I would like to say we support this PLA, but we support it with some stipulations. One, that there be an enforcement mechanism. Too many times we have these bills and legislation, regulations passed, and there's no enforcement component, and they just sit on the cell. Second, if this is not a bait-and-switch scheme, we want to support all civil rights of the workers, all the bus riders, and not make further service cuts. If you make further service cuts, people will not be able to get to those jobs that you're saying that you're going to be giving them. So keep it real. Keep it 100%. Mayor, you mentioned earlier you're a product of the civil rights movement. Well, it's about time you start fulfilling that legacy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bilal. Now, Robbie Hunter.
Director Robbie Hunter from Los Angeles Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. Historically, our trades have been the workforce for transit projects. We've worked with the MTA and many.
Why don't you start all over again?
Just a little closer to here. There you go.
Closer to my. Is that better?
Good.
Robbie Hunter, Los Angeles and Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent the workers that historically have worked on transit projects in this area. We have worked with the MTA staff to negotiate an agreement that is based on efficiency, based on the lowest bid, based on contractors, union or non-union, coming in using the most qualified people, the least amount of people, and the least amount of time, doing it once and doing it right. We have also crafted this agreement in an effort to seek out targeted workers throughout the nation that are looking for the ability to get into the construction industry. We've done this with strict adherence to federal guidelines on funding and in accordance with those guidelines because the federal government are playing an intricate role in funding these projects. We do believe it will be an efficient agreement, and we believe that it will deliver projects without stoppage, either by the contractors or by labor. We will meet the schedules, and we will deliver on the budget. And we're looking forward to ratify this agreement, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. And finally, Maria Elena Durazo with the Los Angeles Federation of Labor.
Good morning, Mayor and Board of Directors. On behalf of hundreds of thousands of working families in Los Angeles County, I'm here to urge you to support this policy, the Construction Careers and PLA policy. We know on the ground how much people are hurting in communities here and all over the nation. So we want a good economy with good jobs and a green infrastructure. You know, this isn't about, you know, those Sunday morning pundits who talk about this theory or that theory. This is the real thing. And that's why this policy and the PLA is not only going to create the transit and get cars off the road, but it's going to take our youth off the streets and give them a real shot at a middle-class job. That's what this is all about. It's the real thing. I especially want to thank Mayor, your leadership, the other directors who have been supportive, and especially Supervisor Mark Ridley-Thomas. Thank you all very much.
There's a motion presented by Supervisor Mark Ridley-Thomas. Mr. Leahy?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make it clear that we take the motion to be the staff recommendation as with the technical amendments that were outlined during the staff presentation.
Yes. I was going to say move this item as amended by staff, but thank you very much. The motion has been moved and seconded.
Mr. Mayor?
Motion has been moved and seconded. Without objection, such will be the order. Thank you very much. Item 69E, if you could all sit down for a moment, just for a moment. Shh. Arnold Sachs, item 69E, and John Walsh.
I concur. I've got everything I wanted in this meeting.
Okay. Arnold Sachs, same. Thank you very much. There's general public comment. Connie Levy, or Levy. Daniel Keller. You want to come up? Connie Levy. Daniel Keller.
I did want to speak on 69A. That was the appointment to...
Okay. Everybody? Okay.
Thank you. The Inspector General appointment. My suggestion, and I made this suggestion actually at the County Board of Supervisors, because they're looking for County Council, was a gentleman by the name of Habib Balian, who's the acting director or the director of the Gold Line Foothill Construction Authority, a position he's held for almost 8 years, including the time that he was director before it was legislated through by the state legislation in 2011. So a person with that kind of forethought that could lead a construction authority before it's legitimate would be a perfect person for the inspector general. Because even the inspector general's office has mentioned doing some work regarding the Gold Line Foothill Construction Authority prior to it being legislated by the state legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
I got 6 seconds, sir.
You do.
So why are you... Can you know? Thank you for interrupting.
Thank you very much.
But again,
Daniel
that's
Kelter,
the kind of leadership we need.
Thank you.
Just like Back to the Future.
Thank you, Dr. Kelter. Dr. Kelter, Mr. Kelter, Daniel Keller.
Daniel Keller.
Keller. I'm sorry.
Okay, but though Connie was ahead of me. I don't know where Connie is. Maybe Connie's gone.
Okay. Called her name.
Here. Okay. My name's Daniel Keller. I've been here many times. You still have not corrected all the people going on for free on the red line, on the orange line. You can go and see the red light goes on every time, and they record the number of people that are going on for free. The goal of this board should be to get more people to get monthly passes. As long as these people cheat, then you're going to have to raise bus fares, because when you go on a bus, you have to pay your fare. You can't cheat like you can on the red line and on the orange bus line. If you want to see it yourself, I've tried to get TV stations to film all the people that are getting on by the red line. I've had no cooperation with the press yet. But I'm going to keep trying until I get this solved, because you can't have all these people cheating. You guys all know about it. It's no secret. But the people who are getting on for free, they're not going to come here and talk to you. They like it just the way it is. Thank you.
Hannah Bentley. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, while they're coming up, let me move that. We also adjourn in memory of a longtime friend of all of ours, Judy Wright, who was the former mayor, city councilwoman for Claremont, also was on the founding executive board of the Foothill Transit. She worked on the Gold Line, along with a number of regional, local transportation organizations, worked with the creation of the League of Cities. And a wonderful lady. She worked with our office, and we could adjourn in her memory after the public comment. Second by John Fasano,
yes.
Without objection, so ordered. Okay, are you, Hannah?
Does this one work? Okay. Thank you, Board of Directors. My name is Hannah Bentley. I'm a resident of the Fusion Complex, which is immediately adjacent to Division 22. In April of last year, you voted against the emplacement of the Fusion project, of the D22 expansion project. You have now approved part of that anyway in this storage facility last month. And now I have heard from MTA staff that they have already planned and done a notice of exemption to place the large paint and body shop to cover three of your lines minimum for light rail, including all of those that were supposed to be the subject of the maintenance facility that you voted to put somewhere else, right next to our tot lot. I would commend to you the photos that my colleague, Mr. Tiddens, has submitted for you, particularly number three seems to be my favorite. These are kids that are 200 feet from where you want to put this paint and body shop.
Thank you. Also, Jeff Tiddens. Jeff Tiddens.
Thank you very much. Basically, going off of Hannah's talk, this has been put in through a loophole. We adamantly went against it last year, and it went to an existing commercial site that would be beautiful for it. I am completely for expansion of transit things in Los Angeles. I ride myself. It's a beautiful thing. But when you come in and you use a loophole to actually put in something that is detrimental to our kids, we have a young neighborhood. We have over 50 kids that are under the age of 5 that play at that tot lot. Let me give you an example of how close that building will be. From where all you guys are sitting, look to that corner. That's the back of that building. That's as close as it's going to be. And when we have winds coming off the ocean to blow on us, where do you think those toxic fumes are going? They're going onto our tot lot and onto our children. So please consider voting against anything like this and actually doing some research on the environmental disaster that can happen with our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Jose Rodriguez. Jose. And after Jose, Sigun Ebagunrin.
Okay, hello. My name is Jose Rodriguez. Again, where is Major Villaraigosa? What a chairperson again. Oh, my God. Okay, I just want to say two things. Please help us, a student from Coast LA. I'm a student from Coast LA. And what I'm asking is to see if they can send somebody over there when students get out of the class and see how many people are waiting for the bus to come to downtown when the class finishes after 20 minutes. Like 50 people, you know, and we can barely go on the crowd buses, you know. MTA needs to do a little bit more to fix the problem, and also Metrolink can work on it too. Now, the other thing that I want to say really important, the economy is getting kind of better for airlines, for the airport LAX. We need more services to LAX, so please keep the flyaway, you know, and try to improve it as possible, and improve the LADOT Commuter Express service on the 430A. That will be a benefit for employees. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you. Sigun? Okay, John Walsh. Thank you. Sherry Bell. Jeanette Morris. Dr. Williams. And then Robert Baters, or Batteries, Roberto Batteries. Yes, sir.
Dr. Tom Williams, Northeast LA Coalition. Last night was a wonderful experience. We actually had Metrolink head, John. We had AQMD. We had representatives from Gloria Molina, from Villagrosa, from Reyes, from De Leon, from Cedillo. All with 150 residents of the Atwater Village, Elysian Park area. Why? Because we're cooperating. We're working to solve the air pollution and noise and glare problems in Taylor Yard. There's a plan being proposed. We're going to get it done in the next 18 months. They may be coming to you for money. We hope that you will be able to find some money to help the Metrolink Taylor Yard redevelopment in accordance with the community and with the representatives of the residents. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Malcolm Klugman. Eric Reeves.
You did the sheriff's department on a consent thing. So I want to bring up an incident that happened to me about 10 days ago. I get down to the platform of a Red Line station with about 10 minutes to go till the train's going to arrive. I go over to sit down. There's a guy laying on this flat space there that's normally meant for people to sit. And he left a little space, so I sat down. The guy jumps up, starts cursing at me, wants to start a fight. I'm a little too old for that. And he's getting all excited. And I'm saying to myself, if I go over to that button, the call thing, and push the button, am I going to get a sheriff's guy to come and take care of this crazy guy? No, I'm going to get an MTA guy who, by the time he contacts the sheriffs and they get to the station, this guy's already on the next train and he's out of here. So we need to do something to protect people on the trains, and this applies to light rail as well. I don't know what to do.
Okay, Roberto, Batteries, Mr. Goodman, Arnold Sachs. Okay, that caused all of the people who have signed up. We have a motion to recess or move into executive session.
Yes, so moved.
Motion and second.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs.
Next time, if you're not here after your name's been called, we will proceed.
What is the deal here? You get penalized for sitting down? Are you getting penalized for sitting down? That's the question. Are you getting penalized for sitting down?
You're getting penalized by not coming when your name is being called.
Oh, well, I won't even touch that one. That's right. Because timely manner, that's part of my discussion.
You're on your time right now.
It is my time. You called my name.
Start the clock.
Okay.
No, he said you're on your time.
Oh, and I'm saying timely manner. You mentioned regarding projects, timely manner. So projects that are 20, is that a timely manner defined as 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, the red line, the subway to the sea, the blue line from Pasadena to Long Beach? Timely manner, sir. Somebody mentioned the flyaway program. Maybe you could ask why the flyaway program has done away with paying cash for tickets. Maybe that would be a reason for losing some ridership. And it was really appreciated the fact about hearing with the PLA, the Project Labor Agreements, where they did a survey with the county. So I go back and I ask, did they do a survey to find out about any counties or cities having problems with discrimination? And finally, I put a card in, and it was regarding the work on the 110 freeway. My question was, why is Caltrans not giving out information to the MTA? Maybe you could investigate that. And thank you, sir. Timely manner.
Not anymore. Not exclusive. I can't go with just, I'm separated, and we're like roommates. You know, she's got a, he lives out of town. No, he lives out of town. Okay, my divorce. Oh, well.